This Chris Murray story is wild.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
So we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. I'm getting tongue-tied this morning already. I'm so excited to tell this story. I just can't quite get it out. Got a fun story about Chris Murray and him finding out that he gets his extra year of eligibility. Nothing's, I guess, 100% official from the Auburn perspective, but it seems like it's headed in that direction. What kind of impact will he have? And then, obviously, back-to-back Final Fours, baby. Final Four of the NIT on deck. We're going to talk about that as well. But let's go ahead and jump right in. So I think this is fun to hear sort of behind the scenes of how stuff plays out. And I think the timing of this really matters, just to show you how down-to-the-wire stuff like this comes. Like, it felt like this was something that, when I'm talking about is Chris Murray's extra year of eligibility, it almost felt like this had been just thrown away and like it wasn't going to happen. Gave his number away. He's on Pro Day graphics. Like, he's going to participate in Pro Day. So just it's just not going to happen. You know, he's not going to get that extra year. So if you remember, we practiced on Tuesday before Pro Day. Okay, so media, we got there for post-practice interviews around like 11:30, 12 o'clock, and then we were coming back at 2 o'clock for Pro Day to start. Okay, so after I'm leaving interviews, we park in the parking deck by the old athletic department. And I just so happen to park, and Chris Murray is pulling into his parking spot. So he jumps out. And, you know, I talked to him real quick, man. Doesn't look good on that extra year. Hope you do well at Pro Day kind of thing. He's like, yeah, man, it's not looking good. I'm going to go see what I can do kind of thing. Okay, so he goes in there. And mind you, this is like around 12 o'clock. Okay, Pro Day's at 2. So he goes in there. I go have lunch. And then I come back. And his car's still there. I park in the exact same spot. And as I'm going to the athletic building, Chris comes like darting out of the facility on a scooter, like going away from the building. And I'm like, man, I didn't think anything about it at the time. Like, he's going to be late. Like, I don't know what he's doing. He's going to be late for Pro Day. That was the thoughts running through my head. So we go in, and where they have us viewing, okay? So we're back at 2 o'clock, ready for Pro Day, where they have us viewing is above on the balcony above the weight room. So I'm sitting there over the rail and I'm watching them at that point in time. They're going up against the wall. They're measuring them, their arm length, hand length, height, weight, all that stuff. And I don't notice Chris Murray out there. And then all of a sudden I hear some commotion, right? I hear some commotion kind of coming up the stairs, and I look, and Chris Murray, I think it was DeMarcus Riddick, Blake Woodby, and Joe Phillips, they're coming up the stairs and they're kind of like high-fiving and stuff. And then they come stand right beside me. And I guess I start kind of putting two and two together. I'm like, wait a minute. He just told me 2 hours ago he's getting ready for Pro Day. His name's on all the graphics. We need another pass rusher. I look at my phone, and then I realize that the kid from Baylor that was supposed to visit on Saturday has committed to Missouri. I start adding things up, and I'm like, I look over at him. I said, dude, are you back? And he's like, yeah, man, I just got the call. I just got my eligibility approved for another year. So Auburn still has to make sure everything's compliant. There's some reports out there that say he's going to be in meetings today. I'm sorry. He was in meetings yesterday, and he's going to be at practice today. We'll see if he's going to be in practice. But that is how down to the wire this thing came. It's not like if he participated, it's not like if he participated, it would have been like he's out. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't take his eligibility out. But he went into that day. He went into that with minutes to spare, hours, like less than an hour to spare before he was going to participate in front of NFL scouts and gets the call that he gets his year. I just think that is insane. First of all, it's insane that stuff takes that long. Is this not like what are they do? Like, does this go before like a tribunal? Like, do we put it before like, and we have to have all these votes and things like that? Like, is it that hard? Is it that hard to get a hardcore yes or no and then appeal and move on? Like, what are these people doing? How is there not like a dedicated right now? I mean, gosh, you're getting appeals and you're getting petitions daily, yearly. How do you not have like a whole department for that? And you're just knocking these things out. It should be like a pretty easy yes or no kind of thing. You got a good argument. I know that sometimes the court stuff comes after a ruling. So I'm not talking about like the whole end of the process, like when you get a ruling and then people sue and you got to go to court and all that stuff. I understand that. But what I'm talking about is just the process from I am petitioning, I need an answer. Why does it take months? Like, we've been trying to obviously get this guy back for a while now, and it's a huge shot in the arm for that pass rush room. We're putting a lot of effort into it. Why does it take that long? I mean, this kid's life. I just think about all the life decisions and things that have to be going on all the way leading up into that moment, and then how everything changes. They're really excited from a, like, those guys were pumped up. Chris was pumped up. It was cool to see, and it was kind of weird. It's like being in the right place at the right time kind of thing. I don't have like a relationship with Chris. Like, we haven't really talked much at all since he's been here. But it was just sort of like being excited at the same time. You know what I mean? And then he's like, he wants to tell me everything now because I was just happened to be there during that moment. But it was really cool to be there for that. It's really cool to see that whole process play out. I just wish it didn't have to go up until the last hour. That's just crazy. I don't know exactly how many appeals or whatever they had to go through to get it, but I know Auburn seemed to want him. Auburn needed a pass rusher, and they got a good one back with experience. And we're going to talk about his impact. We're going to talk about what that means for that pass rush room as a whole in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to Scarlet Oaks Roofing and Renovation. It's almost April, and you know what they say, April showers bring Mayflowers. Okay, so you could be seeing a little bit of a wet April. You definitely want to make sure your roof is not leaking. So free inspections. If you got a question about insurance, they can handle your insurance as well. If you're in the East Alabama, Columbus market, give Preston a shout, 770-530-7738, or you can go to scarletoaksroofing.com. Show them some love. And then if you need a good real estate agent in the Auburn, Opelika area, hit me up, KyleRush@KW.com. Doesn't matter if you want to buy, build, sell, or rent. You got a kid coming to college. Let's find them a spot to live. You're looking for a short-term rental investment. Let's find you a spot. If you're just looking to build a house, I can help you find the right builder, buy land. Doesn't matter. I can be your one-stop shop. So give me some love. Reach out. Would love to help you and your family. We'll be back right after this. So the story's fun, but let's talk about the impact, because I think that is the most important thing about all this. If everything goes to plan and we need a pass rusher, I know it's not been announced by Auburn. We need a pass rusher. He's a pass rusher. He's got experience. We saw a guy we were bringing in go elsewhere. So obviously things look pretty good. We'll see if he's at practice today, but let's talk about the impact. Look, I'll be honest, even last year, when you look at pass rush, sacks aren't less necessarily like the end-all, be-all, telltale sign of the effectiveness of a pass rush. But with that being said, even last year, your leading sack guy was Xavier Atkins. He had 9 sacks. He was by far and above the best at getting to the quarterback and getting the quarterback down. You had Kieron Crawford had 5, and then you had Chris Murray right there with 3.5. He had a big one against Texas A&M. I know he had 2 against Mercer, but he affected Sawyer Robertson a lot in that first game and had a half a sack. So the thing is, 2 of those guys I just listed aren't well, I'm sorry, Xavier Atkins is here, but you got Kieron Crawford gone, and then you got Keldrick Falk gone. A lot of the guys, other guys that affected the pass rush are not here. Malik Blockton was another one that affected the quarterback. He's not here. So the question mark on pass rush was always going to be there. Again, ton of potential, not much production. And with Chris Murray not being in that mix, it just made it that much more concerning. And you don't have to look any further than trying to bring other guys in, you know, throwing Hail Marys at guys in the portal potentially to come in and help. So Chris Murray is honestly a lot like the story of Kieron Crawford and really Jalen McLeod. Think about those guys when they came in. They were here for 2 seasons. Their first season, they were just sort of learning the ropes, understanding the defense, would make some plays when they got opportunities. And then when they were the guy, when the keys were handed to them, they exploded and they had really good years. Jalen McLeod played himself into the NFL draft. Kieron Crawford had a really, really big year. Could this just be another one in that line right there? Could Chris Murray, I think he's probably, he's been in shape. Obviously, he's probably been working out, probably been in shape because he was about to go participate in Pro Day. Could he, you know, just logically take that next step? Could he take that next step and be one of those guys? I'm curious to see now, does this also change, like, where dudes line up? Okay, so you got a bunch of guys listed as edge, but, like, how many of those guys are actually going to play that defensive end, like the Keldrick Falk edge, like three-point stance edge? And then how many of those are going to be like your stand-up buck outside linebacker? Feels like Chris Murray is going to be your stand-up buck outside linebacker. So who else out of that group is going to be in that rotation? J.J. Falk probably is going to be over there. Jared Smith may moonlight some, but he's so big. He's more Keldrick Falk size. I'm sure they're going to have him down on the end. Same with Deshaun Womack. So if he's at practice today, maybe you get a good idea of how those guys line up and what that may look like. Maybe get some indications there. So the bottom line is, pass rush in general, going into this spring camp, I think everybody that talks about Auburn football, you got a question mark there. That's got to be some answers that you got to find in spring, or at least a pathway to some answers, okay? And this just helps give you some more options, some more bullets in the chamber with Chris being able to come back. So, got great size. He's like a clone of Kieron, maybe a little bit longer. Good burst. And I think he's feeling like he's got a second life. He's got a new opportunity here. You couldn't lay eyes on him yesterday without seeing a big smile on his face. So that just tells me, hey, I got this opportunity. I got to go do something with it now. So that's another thing that's very exciting, is just to kind of see that whole thing play out, see the excitement and see the potential of what this could be and what this could mean for Auburn's defense. So I feel a million times better about pass rush, just having some extra options than I did going into spring. And I think I said this, that on a show like several months ago, and probably with Zach as we talked, you felt you're awesome. You got Dallas Walker back, but man, you feel really, really good if you could get Chris Murray back. So good stuff there, and I can't wait to go to practice today and see what happens. Probably going to do, I think I'll do a live practice update. I think we'll go after practice, you know, around like 1, 2 o'clock, something like that, go live and talk about practice. So y'all make sure you're around this afternoon for that as well. Let's talk about NIT, back-to-back Final Fours. I mean, how many schools can say they go to back-to-back Final Fours in prestigious postseason tournaments? Tongue-in-cheek a little bit, but you know what? Lean into it. Let's have fun with it. We're trying to go win a tournament. Looked really good last night versus Nevada at times. Got a little sketchy there at the end. It seems like all three games have gotten sketchy a little bit. Right there at the end, you had Nevada was doing a very, very aggressive press on the inbound, and we had a couple of silly turnovers. And then finally, we challenged an out-of-bounds call, and we failed, so we had to use one of our timeouts there. And I think that helped us kind of get a good plan together. And they broke the press on the very, very next inbound play and had an easy dunk, which is there. If you're able to break it, you got easy buckets on the other end. And they did that and kind of put the game out of reach. So I got to hand it to them, man. When it feels like the world's telling you that there's nothing to play for, when there's nothing to gain, when, you know, maybe even there's some embarrassment, you know, tied to it, they're playing some scrappy defense and they're getting after it. And I applaud them. I mean, even Keyshawn Hall, he's not setting the world on fire as far as points go. But, man, I mean, he had 6 rebounds last night. You know, 6 rebounds and 2 assists. And then the previous game, he had like 15 rebounds. So good for him on playing hard, even when you're not necessarily the primary, you know, primary scorer. It's funny, each game has been the insert player generation game, legacy game. You know, last game, it was a mix between Overton and Elijah Freeman. Today, or last night, there was no doubt it was Jovic. He was unbelievable, and he played like an absolute bully, and I loved it. He was so physical, they wanted no part of it. When he got in their chest, it caved every single time. There was a stretch, I think he hit his first 6 shots. Like, he made his first 6 shots. A lot of them were dunks. They were right there around the basket. Who cares? That's high percentage. If he comes back next year, if you get him back next year, he could take a really, really big step. This tournament was huge for him, I think, because the level of play is not up there with some of the best of the SEC, but he may not have been really ready for that. So he's getting a chance to build confidence and win some meaningful games and be impactful. And last night he had 18 points and 9 rebounds. I mean, 1 rebound away. Surely we can find another rebound in that game and give it to him, right? Surely he had one more where he can get a double-double. I thought he was phenomenal. I thought he was absolutely phenomenal. It was funny, on the Barncast, we were talking about Blake Mushalik, and he only went in sparing, like he only played 5 minutes. But dadgummit, like, he made some stuff happen. It was funny. Like, we're like, man, he went in. He's going in. Something is going to happen. He went in for an exchange, and no joke, he was in for maybe 25 seconds. He was maybe in there for 25 seconds, and he drew an offensive foul. He drew an elbow to the face. It was so funny. And then I think he had, you know, some really good defensive stands where the guy, nobody scored on him. Everybody just kind of played their role. Tahad was good at times. He had 6 assists. He had the whole floater working. At times hit 2 big threes. Overton was a little cold from 3. He was only 1 of 6. But you know what? When you got Freeman scoring 15, who's having a really good tournament, You got Hall in double figures. You got Jovic in double figures. You got Pettiford in double figures. You're good to go. Freeman never came off the court, by the way. He played 40 minutes. We need him back, too. Good stuff. And I love what Steven said, man, and the humility of it. Like, hey, this is good for me as a coach, too, getting more chances to coach, more chances to learn, because this is my first coaching job as a head coach. So good stuff all around. I think, you know, people that were pessimistic about Auburn accepting a bid and actually playing this thing, maybe they're kind of coming around now and seeing the benefit from it. So you get more experience from everybody. Hopefully you can see what you want to see out of the core guys you want to retain, and you're keeping them here so they're not going home and having the phone ring off the hook with dudes tampering before the portal opens. It's good stuff. So Auburn goes to Indianapolis, and I think they play on, is it Tuesday? I think it's Tuesday. They play at 8:30. It's like right before the other game. Hold on 1 second. Let me look it up. Auburn basketball official account. They posted it last night. April 2nd. That's Thursday. My bad. April 2nd, Thursday at 8:30. They play Illinois State. I watched a little bit of the game, Illinois State and Dayton game prior, and I think we're going to be all right. I'm curious to see what that spread will be. They're not, it doesn't seem like they have much firepower on offense. So undoubtedly they'll hit 25 three-pointers on us. That's just how that's going to work. I'm kidding. Maybe not. Maybe I'm serious a little bit. But I want to hammer down and win this thing. Have some fun. Get some NIT swag. Guys, thank y'all for listening. Thank you for letting me bore you with my story on Chris Murray. I just think it's so cool to see that, you know, behind the scenes. So, guys, I really appreciate it. Y'all have a great day. We'll be back again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.